Hello and welcome to the tech segment of We're Drunk and We Know Things. We're at St. Mary's Country Inn. We're drinking Liberation Pale Ale, Liberation IPA, anything that Liberation have to offer, essentially. And this week we're talking about the future, according to Rob. They're very specific about me putting that pause in. It feels a bit masturbatory to me, to be honest, but I'm sure it'll be great.
I mean, technically, anything that we discuss on this podcast is X, according to either Mike or Rob.
No, that is true. There is nothing more masturbatory than recording yourself speaking about something, is there, really?
Well, apart from masturbation.
So this has been a fantastic introduction segment. I should also mention very quickly, if you like this, then God help you. But if you do, please review us on iTunes or Facebook, or just, like, send us presents. Anyway, shall we start?
This tech segment is a bit different. You completely stole this, by the way, with the film segment that was also a bit different.
Yeah, it was all a bit different.
If you're listening to this one first, and of course you are, then you'll get that joke.
You just listen to this one to humour him. I get it.
It's a bit different because this is not a specific thing that we're going to discuss / explain. This is a look into the future. A loving look into the future. And it's more of a Q&A, it's a debate, because this is literally predicting the future, which, don't be wrong, I'm
You have come to the right man. I'm a little bit psychic.
But before we head into the future...
Is this a part of the podcast that we normally do in the tech when you say, what do you know about this subject?
What do you know about the future?
Well, I know that they're going to have cars called spinners, and there'll be replicants that we might call spin jobs, but skin jobs even, but that is actually a very derogatory term. There'll be flying skateboards, and Max Landis is going to direct Jaws 19. Also, maybe Skynet, or The Matrix.
Yeah. We'll be covering exactly two of those things.
Oh, I hope it's Max Landis.
Really? I was going to go for skin jobs.
Nice.
Before we get into the future, we have to do what?
I don't know, get in a DeLorean?
Yes, we have to go back to the past.
Oh, I've nailed it.
Which was the really shitty sequel that they never made, because it was basically just two guys in a farm.
For a second, I was really like, really?
If you get this plow up to 88 miles an hour, it's like the plow is pulled by a cow. It does 5 miles an hour.
Please never go into script writing.
What are you talking about? That would be amazing.
But, so anyway, the future. We're going to the future. But we've got to go to the past.
We need to think about the past. So before we can work out where we're going, we need to work out where we've been. And specifically, when we're talking about what?
Sorry. This is a very profound podcast this week. Is it exciting?
Yes, it's profound. It's debatery.
Is it going to be hopeful or is it going to be dystopian?
Well, that's on you, because frankly, I'm always hopeful. You're always like, oh my God, we're all going to die.
Well, it's because you keep telling me about tech stuff, which is basically like, you know, recording every action of our lives and telling Donald Trump about it.
Yeah, there's some of that in there.
That's what I do. I drink. And I know things.
There have been maybe... two, three, in fact, there have been countless major revolutions.
Industrial Revolution.
Ha, see.
That was one of them. When they invented the loom.
Impact, the Industrial Revolution, probably the biggest and most relevant to the conversation that we're about to have.
Right.
So what was the Industrial Revolution? They invented the loom. Yep. They invented the steam engine.
Yep.
They invented the railway train.
They invented machines, a shitload of machines that replaced people doing their jobs.
Which was cool. Started in, 1760-something?
Sure-ish. If you say so.
I do.
I know it happened. It happened later in Russia. I remember that from my Russian A-level.
Most things do.
Russian history A-level. I mean, to be fair,
the Russians are about to get S-Club 7. They have no idea what's going to happen.
Bless their hearts. No, actually, fuck them. I'll say it. It's on the internet. Anyway, go on.
In Russia, internet browse you.
Nailed it. Right.
So the Industrial Revolution is an important milestone, obviously, in human development. We invented a whole bunch of crap that lets us do boring stuff faster.
Yes, agreed. Okay, yeah, sure.
And we roll out railway tracks across the world, and all of a sudden we're able to move stuff wherever we need it, and And the trouble is that when we think about the Industrial Revolution, we're thinking about a linear growth system.
Right.
So there's your town, and then your town's connected to that town, and that town's connected to the next town.
Right,
and
right.
You can kind of move stuff faster, but it's pretty much just like, yeah, this is now doing the job of people.
So is that an analogy for the technological revolution?
No.
Or was the technological revolution more exponential?
I love the fact that you're referring to it in the past tense, like it's not still happening.
Oh, no, we're done. I think we plateaued.
You think? That's
I think iPhone 7, that's it.
There won't be an iPhone 7S.
They're done. I think they're done. I think, really, people are done with smartphones. It's over.
Following the Industrial Revolution.
Right.
It's not over. It's never over. There's always a new one. Following the Industrial Revolution.
Right. The Sexual Revolution.
Actually, that did happen in the 60s, but only for, like, 6 months. We have the information.
Really got to remember that nodding, not a recorded thing.
No, you have to.
This is an audio podcast.
I'm going to verbally acknowledge.
This is an
what
audio. I am nodding. Yeah, cool.
Nod.
Gotcha.
Nod.
Right.
The next major revolution that pretty much took place in some of our lifetimes, we've got the information industrial revolution, or the digital revolution,
right,
if you will.
When was that?
Well, it's kind of from, give or take, round about
the Nokia 3210 onwards.
A bit earlier. This is the invention of, like, the home PC, the internet. So this
the
spans
the Commodore 64.
The 60s, the Commodore 64, indeed. This spans an entire range of years, but fairly recent.
Right.
We're talking about the last 50 to 60.
Right.
Give or take.
Right.
And this is kind of intriguing, because what we end up with is, firstly, with the PC boom, you have a computer in your home.
Yep.
I mean, frankly, everybody
I
in the Western
two.
World.
I have two, thanks.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I don't want to. I mean, I'm in that podcast money. It's not teacher money, but it's pretty good.
Yeah, we are just spanking that.
Well, you might be spanking it, but I'm doing a podcast. Yeah.
You're spending it wrong.
Right, yeah, okay.
So all of a sudden we've got this immense computing power in the home, and don't get me wrong, for the first couple of years we used it to basically play really bad games.
Right.
So blocky things.
Yeah,
that,
yeah, sure, sure,
like,
sure, sure.
Like, oh my God, that's an alien.
And now everyone's desperately trying to emulate onto their like PS4. They
not
all
desperately.
Want to play
I have a Wii that plays pretty much anything.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I had a Wii earlier.
Commodore 64, ZX Spectrum, all of this stuff.
Yeah.
Nice and portable, I suppose, but fundamentally,
portable as in you can port them, not as in. I was like, that was very unportable. If anything, you had to plug it into the mains,
well,
carry
yes,
around in an enormous tape deck.
That's still portable, considering the computers that predate it
filled
a room.
Yeah, all right, fair enough. Fair enough. Going back to our Doctor Strange
episode, you could go to the shop
episode,
and buy one.
Yeah, going back to our Doctor Strange episode, that is a room full of whirling tapes, isn't it?
And then, of course, we've got the internet.
Mm-hmm.
We can't talk about the past of information technology without the internet. We've got a network that spans the globe.
Which is either the best thing or the worst thing. People
well,
can't
both.
Decide.
Well, this is the thing, is the networks, it's a tool, right? It's not good or bad, it's what you do with it.
So,
guns don't kill people.
The internet does. It's true, it does.
So now we have this situation where you've got your home PC connected to the internet and all of this information flying around.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that, you know, that is clearly changing things slightly. You can now access.
Yes, I think it's had an impact.
Don't you?
I mean, that's a controversial point of view, certainly, but okay, yeah.
So cut kind of left a little bit, away from home PC's internet connectivity, and you've got artificial intelligence research into. And this is still past, right?
You know what I'm going to say about
No,
that.
This is in the past. This is not where it's going.
It's true. Well, I mean, Terminator 2 came out in what? And it came out in the past?
It came out inspired by the likes of AI that first beat Gary Kasparov.
Oh, whatever, like Blue Sky. Oh, yeah, Blue. That's the one, yeah, yeah.
And for the first time,
one.
A computer was good enough to beat
yeah.
a person at a game that previously it couldn't beat them at. And
sure,
last
sure.
year we had the first computer that was able to beat a Go Grandmaster.
Wait, what? A Go Grandmaster?
Yeah, Go is...
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, I know what Go is. Yeah, no,
okay,
that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing, yeah.
Much, much harder than chess.
But can it beat me at Doom?
Creative.
Yes, it can. The bots beat me on the regs.
Doom just beats you at Doom.
I play Doom still on my old Windows 95 machine that I have, apparently. Yeah, go on. Go on, sorry.
Did you get it from your recent field trip to Russia?
Yeah, exactly. Nipped over. Don't need emulators over there.
No, you need to buy the real deal. The Game Boy's about to come out.
It's Unreal
blow
Tournament.
Their minds.
It's like, oh, this is amazing.
On a side note, Unreal Tournament still probably one of the best first-person shooters ever made.
The ragdoll physics of that game.
Unbelievably
unbelievable.
Good.
Jesus, we are...
And let's run forward to...
Why do any of you listen to this?
Run forward to...
Yes.
You know, kind of present day. We've all got smartphones.
Mm-hmm.
I say we've all. Obviously, this is speaking from a position of severe white privilege. But if you are in the Western world,
but
you've got a reasonable job.
There are enormous, like, efforts... Charity-wise, that was eloquent. Thank God I don't have a podcast.
Or enormous charity efforts.
Charity efforts-wise, where they're like trying to give a laptop to every kid and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's very much, you know, Bill Nye's always yelling about everyone should have access to the internet because it's the biggest font of knowledge and pornography.
I'm pretty sure that Bill Nye doesn't actually suffix
He doesn't say it, but it's like it's in the subtext. He's very much the school of Tim Berners-Lee. Like, they invented it for one thing, but, like, winkingly, we know...
Oh, yeah, it's totally for sharing academic knowledge.
Yeah, definitely. Have you read my paper and also seen my dick pic? Like, you know, we get it. We get it.
The reason that these guys are trying to give all of this stuff away and trying to connect the rest of the world and what have you is because, fundamentally, we can be agreed, can we not, that a connected society, the world we live in, is better as a result.
Yes. People who are given exposure to parts of the world and cultures that they don't normally get exposure to generally are less racist, horrible, terrible pieces of shit. So yes, I agree. Yes, I think we can agree on that.
See, we got all this crazy shit around now that we didn't have before.
Yes, agreed.
And the whole point of this episode is what comes next.
I'm thinking about holographic projectors, like Princess Leia, straight up. Droids that I can fuck. You know, sex robot that's coming along. I don't know if you're following along with the technology, but that's the thing. I'm also thinking about projectors in every house and flying cars and jetpacks. That's more of a wishful thinking than it is anything else.
One of the first things that we need to think about when we think about the future is that the Industrial Revolution was linear.
Right, yeah.
I said that before.
You did, yeah.
And effectively what that means is that you can build a railway and the railway is end long.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Trains get a bit better over time, but they don't get that much better.
Sure. So then are we talking about like how efficient the trains are, how they run on a better type of energy
What we're talking about, I suppose, is the concept of growth.
Right.
The concept of shift and change.
Yeah.
That the digital revolution exists in a slightly different pattern to the previous industrial revolution, which is the digital revolution is exponential. And let's think about that in terms of, say, years.
Right.
So we have... Years.
Yes.
Is that my way?
No, you said say years.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Years.
Go on.
So today we have a thing. It can be computing power, it can be lima bean output, it doesn't really matter.
Right.
If that thing is subject to an exponential growth, how much of that thing will we have in 10
years? So is that twice the amount of output or twice the amount of efficiency?
It doesn't matter.
Right, twice the amount of anything.
Thing.
Twice
the unit you are measuring. You have one now.
Right.
How many do you have in 10 years' time?
Two? Is it two a year?
No, we're doing this annually.
Oh, right.
So
okay.
One year we
so,
have one.
So a mass
next year we
amount.
Have two.
A mass amount.
And
but
change.
Is that a recorded trend that things have actually been following that? Or is mm-hmm. that just an extrapolation that somebody did a billion years ago? And
I mean, that's
up?
To be honest, that's my extrapolation, but that trend has been met. In computing, we deal with something called Moore's Law, which is fundamentally the doubling of computing power.
Right, yeah,
year
okay,
year,
yeah, yeah.
We have had a doubling of the number of transistors, but also
I've heard of this. I've heard
effective
of this. I think I might have heard this because you've told me about this. But yeah.
Now we need to think about this in terms of computers because computers are the future, mm-hmm. you know. And before we can think about things in terms of computers, we need to think about why computers are important to anything at all.
Right.
And this is the
concept because they run everything.
Yeah, but how?
It's no magic. Isn't that the point of the podcast? Don't ask me.
Well, this
I've
is
got
it.
A podcast about how I don't know about tech.
The way that they do this is something called codification.
Oh.
And codification is the ability to wrap a problem
Right.
In maths.
Like, my name's Mike D and I'm here to say, 3 times 3 is 9. That's me rapping a problem.
No, no. Codification, the idea that we can take a problem and solve it using maths.
Sure.
Specifically binary maths, because that's what computers do.
Yeah.
They're quite good at it. And this is where we're currently at. So let's take a simple problem, for example, addition.
Right.
1 plus 1 is really easy to break down into a computer-style program.
Right, yeah, sure.
Computers can solve addition and maths really, really easily.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's think about the next step.
So are you actually then talking about breaking down non-maths problems into a math-based problem?
Well, yeah. And there are some problems that we now solve with computers regularly that are actually quite hard to do. So, say, for example, when you use your computer, you have this nice interface.
Right.
You've got icons and windows and
you.
Yeah.
Apps.
That's all maths,
double
right?
Double-clicky bit. No, at some point, it's pictures. It's pictures of things. I've seen
computers
them.
Computers only do maths.
Paint's got the paintbrush.
They need to know what the maths are to draw that icon at that point, what the math is that when you tap that thing, this happens.
Well, what's the maths of make the paintbrush on here red and the, what, like the dimensions of the paintbrush are this?
Yeah.
And then the colour, what, how do you codify a colour? You give it a number?
Yeah. Everything
so
is numbers.
It's got to be red. So, oh, this is going back to that Unicode thing. This we were talking about with emojis.
A little bit.
Wheels
but
within
when
wheels.
We get into codification, we start to realise that some problems are really
easy
to do.
I can't tell you how happy I am that I've remembered something from a previous podcast.
Oh my god, I was
oh
awake.
My god, I vaguely understand, very vaguely, what he's talking about. Okay, yeah, go.
But yeah,
go.
So codification,
right?
Say that again 10 times fast, all of a sudden starts to reveal to us that certain problems can be solved very easily, some are a bit harder.
Sure.
And this is why, to be honest, Apple make a big thing every time they release a new smartphone about the improvements in graphics, because it means they can do better icons or right. smoother scrolling or what have you, because it's all
but
maths.
I always thought that was just like a better screen. Mm-mm. But it's just actually the better utilization of the same screen. So we can put code into that screen to make it look better, but the actual physical hardware is the same?
Code behind the screen. And the screens do improve, but that's a minor point. That's,
yeah. But know, it is the code behind the screen that makes it better.
Yes.
So your HDTV, okay, is not the same as your cathode ray tube, what's
no,
it?
No, it's got more pixels, more resolution,
but it's the same
software
piece of glass.
That controls it is much better.
I don't know why. I always assumed just like the glass was better.
It's just magic.
You know
magic
what?
Glass.
And also, weirdly, and this is really bad, I always kind of felt like, the you know, the pixels on the screen, like, they were actual physical things. I know that sounds really dumb, but in my mind, you're like, oh, it's got 10,000 pixels. Oh, this one's got 12,000. It feels like, oh, right, so they just put 2,000 more in.
You know that's pretty much how it works, right?
No, that's LED screens, right?
Yeah.
So there's, like, actual...
Oh, right, yeah, the LED screens do
Yeah, they've got the physical things, but normally they don't, right? They have the...
Well,
it's just
normally,
a projection
what are you
of light.
Using that isn't LED?
Don't, my television's not LED.
LCD, surely.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, but liquid crystal display is different from LCD. Is they're like actual little tiny...
I'm going to back away from this one fairly quickly because this turns out to be something that I don't know anything
Let's
about.
Let's talk about it on L.
Yeah.
Cool.
Let's get to L. We'll talk about television.
You've got ages... Oh my god, that'll be a good one.
Le television.
Which would be us shouting about... No, it'd be LCD. Anyway, okay.
So the point is...
The point is...
Problems encoded in maths.
Right.
Some of the problems are really, really easy. Some of them are really, really hard. An example of a hard problem.
Apparently, 64 squared.
Hard to us, dead easy to a computer.
Yeah, I suppose I could do it on my iPhone pretty quick.
Yeah.
Google would know pretty fast.
Google
knows
almost
it's
immediately.
It's like stupid things like, it's 75 million degrees in Fahrenheit. What's that in Celsius? What's that in English money?
Yeah. It's
as my
a fairly tough
say.
Formula. There's 3 steps to it.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to do the math.
Yeah,
computers
yeah.
fucking love that shit.
Wankers. What?
People,
computers are nerds, man. Computers are nerds.
What aren't computers good at?
Getting pussy.
Well, yes.
I'd say that right now.
But at the same time...
Too busy doing maths.
Anything that involves...
Not like us jocks.
Complicated.
Emotions. Not great at that.
Not great at emotions. Not
quite good at faking them these days.
Not great at extrapolation.
Sure.
Which is why the chess guys took so long to do it, because they had to come up with a system that would basically brute force every single move. And
so
this
they had to
how...
think about every... single move that that person, his opponent, could make against him if they make that move.
Yes.
So it's like, yeah, like creative thought, essentially. It's
well, yes, but that's not how we play chess.
I don't know how to play chess, Rob. I won't lie to you. I know that the horsey goes in an L shape. That's about me.
There we have it, ladies and gentlemen. The horsey goes in the
ocean. This will surprise you, Rob, but I don't really have the patience.
We're Drunk and We Know Things.
I don't really have the patience for chess, Rob. I know this will surprise you. I'm more of an immediate person. I like Mario.
Who doesn't like Mario?
It's true.
Well, Bowser.
Bowser, yeah, certainly. I think Luigi probably bears some resentment. Certainly.
Really?
Yeah, I think Luigi...
Luigi would mean nothing if it
were. I bet Christmas
Mario
is awkward in the Mario household. First of all, because they call it the Mario household, and Luigi is like, it's the Mario Brothers. Why is it the Mario Brothers?
He's Mario Mario and Luigi bullshit. Mario.
Yeah, I think Luigi bears resentment about that as well. He could be like, I could be Mario too. It doesn't make any sense. You've got two first names. I'm being told to move on by Overteen Jenkins, but I think we're getting to some real truth
this is,
now.
This is solid gold.
This is important stuff. Yeah.
We are answering the questions the that nobody
dynamic
is asking.
Yeah, exactly. How many podcasts have you heard where they talk about the family dynamics of the Mario Brothers?
About seven.
He's saying two. I don't believe him. Now he's got his dick out. Okay. Rob, let's move on then.
Mario is another good example. You've got moving things. You've got bouncing. Computer games generally are quite hard to code.
That one time he had the rabbit ears and he could fly?
Yeah. Different state than Mario, and I know this is going to be tough.
And they work it out with maths.
Yeah.
Well, how the fuck does that work?
Quite.
Is that the point of this podcast?
You're starting to get to the crux of my issue.
How the fuck do you write a maths problem that says if you get a carrot, you get bunny ears, if you keep it in the A1, he like glides down?
Oh no, it's more complex than that. It's if this group of pixels collides with that group of pixels.
And that was just...
Assuming they're actually...
That was just black and green.
Yeah. And those colours are all numbers. So, basically, you've now got the Matrix bouncing around.
For fuck's sake. I mean...
Codification is really important to understanding where we're going in the future. Because we now have the realisation that, firstly, any problem can be solved through maths. Some of them are hard.
Right.
Some of the hard problems include things like translation.
Sure.
Between different human languages.
Yeah.
That's hard.
I've used Google Translate. I know what that is.
They have no consistent logical set.
No, tell me about it. I've got a Polish wife. I know that languages have no logical bearing of any variety.
Bizarrely, Polish actually one of the most logical languages out there.
Don't take her side.
I'm not taking her side. It is English.
It's another
one
podcast
of the least
I'm in
logical
for
languages out there.
Yeah.
And this is part of the problem. You have different variances, different logics and what have you. No set of rules that you can easily codify.
Yeah.
Things like weather. We've been trying to solve this one for a long fucking time.
But they don't
time
use computers to predict the weather. Don't they look at the movement of the clouds and that stuff? Overteen Jenkins is looking at me like... No, but they don't.
They
so
have
they're
a
trying
guy
to extrapolate
in
the
a
trend
hot air balloon.
Oh, no, they say, well, the wind is this quick, the clouds are over here, the wind is going this way, the clouds are going to go that way.
But they're analysing data, which is converted straight into numbers.
Well,
they feed that into
well,
the computer.
Well, then tell me this. Why can't they predict earthquakes? If they're so fucking clever.
For the same reason that they can't predict the weather.
Well,
they're fundamentally very hard to predict.
Well,
if you actually were paying attention during Jurassic Park, you'd be aware that there's an entire sub-branch of maths dedicated
how
to trying to work out this kind of problem.
How dare you?
Go on.
Is it chaos theory?
It is chaos theory.
It's the rib, hey! It's the drops down the arm.
Yeah. Earthquakes, weather, right, translation, all of these things are hard to do. Driving.
But is that because we don't know enough about them? Well, my point was going to make sense until you said driving. Is it because we don't know enough about them scientifically that, like, our maths isn't good enough? So then my question is, why don't we just build a computer that is good enough at maths?
Because we can't. We're limited.
Why don't we get a computer that's really good at maths to build a computer that's better at maths? Oh, shit, we're at Skynet. We're actually at Skynet, aren't we?
No. We are back to exponential growth. But what it means is that fundamentally we have problems now that require more math than we can currently do in a given amount of time to solve. Right. So say, for example, this is the other thing, is that we may well be able to run the calculations required to predict how a car should turn left or right.
What you're talking about now is the Enigma
machine. But it would
take
too long.
What you're talking about now is the Enigma machine.
Why?
They had to build a computer because it would take them too long to physically do the math to work out the cryptography of the code of the Enigma machine.
Well, that was
so Alan Turing designed
a
video. Yeah, he designed a video. He designed a machine to do it.
Actually, Alan Turing didn't invent the Enigma machine.
Well, he designed it, and then a lot of Polish engineers built it, didn't they?
No, the Nazis invented the Enigma machine.
Well, they invented the Enigma machine. He invented the decoder, and then a lot of Polish engineers built the machine.
If you can throw enough maths at a problem, you can solve it, yes?
Sure.
And our current problem is that we can't throw quite enough mathematical processing, problem-solving power at the big problems we want to solve.
Is that because we're just not good enough at math?
No, it's because the computers aren't good enough at math yet. They can only do so much so fast.
Well, sort it out, Jobs.
Well, they're working on it.
Well, no, he's dead. He can't do shit, but you know what I mean.
Really?
The equivalent, the Jobs replacement, whatever his name is.
Steve Jobs isn't dead, he just
Tim
went
Minchin.
Home.
That's his name. Whatever.
So, if we assume two things. Firstly, that any problem can be solved by through sufficient application of computing power, and also that computing power is on this exponential curve.
Right.
What does it tell us about what's going to happen in the future?
That eventually we'll have a computer that we can use?
Yeah. And here's the trick. We're not very good at working in exponentials as human beings. We're kind of linear in the way that we think.
Sure, yeah. Like you know, like time,
yeah.
Things like that. Yeah,
we like stuff to go like one and one and one. The
in
idea
sequence,
that something
yeah,
will
sure,
double
sure.
And then double again
sure, sure,
and
sure,
double
yeah,
and
yeah.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
We're not that hot on this.
And we also don't like things when they suddenly rapidly change very quickly. We're not terribly hot on that either.
No, and exponential growth in the digital sector means exactly that.
Yeah, yeah. Which is why so many people slightly older than us don't know what the fuck to do with a smartphone, but they knew how to play Pong.
No, that's just because they're idiots.
Oh, well, that's fine. Yeah,
grumpy old
that
people.
That was always my...
It's fine. So, in summary, we use math to solve problems, yes?
Right.
We use computers to solve problems.
Yeah.
Some of the problems are too hard for computers to solve.
Right.
Which means we need, what, simpler problems? Well, that's not going to
happen.
We need
bigger computers.
We need more powerful computers.
Right.
And the whole point about this thing being
well,
exponential...
Well, I'm seeing all these adverts about IBM and their processors. They seem like they're pretty good.
That's marketing.
They have Intel inside.
That's marketing. And right. Also, we now have to play Bing Bong Bing Bong.
Who the fuck knows what that means?
We literally now have to play that, right?
Ba-na-na-na.
Oh, Jesus.
Fun, I've sung it.
Intel have the best marketing department on the entire planet. Oh. You mention their name and you have to play their
like,
jingle thing.
But they always have a thing where when you get an iPhone and they say, well, it's got the new special chip inside this one, in this phone, and it's fantastic. And the last one, it didn't have that chip. And you go, oh, that sounds good. But actually, I don't fucking know. It could be anything. It could be, they could have a cookie in it.
Yeah, I think that's still marketing.
No, sure.
Basically lies. You do get that marketing departments are built
no,
to
I'm,
lie to
I'm
you,
getting
yes?
that I'm being lied to. I
okay,
understand.
Okay, good. Fantastic. We need more powerful computers, which means exponentially we'll get them.
Yeah, yeah.
In time. Which sure. is good, because we're talking about the future.
Right.
Which is in time.
This sounds like a fantastic time. A fantastic place, the future.
Hi. So what kind of problems can we look at solving? What kind of stuff is starting to happen?
Well, I'd say like disease in general. That's quite a good one to solve.
Medical technology is
sure.
already kind sure. of on the up and up.
Shutting up the far right.
Well, less so.
Ooh, look at robots, guns.
Really?
We're talking about Skynet
let's
again.
Let's arm
we?
The robots.
We're talking about Skynet again.
Firstly, let's build the robots. I mean, let's back
yeah,
this up to a more positive note. And we've got a couple of things. We've got a computer program based out of the US that is actually better at predicting and diagnosing cancer than a human doctor is right now.
Oh, really?
Given the same data.
Oh, wow. Given the same data?
Yeah.
Well, but based on this enormous database of dick pics. I mean, database of...
Cancerous dick pics.
Cancerous dick pics. An enormous database of people who have got cancer.
Yeah.
And they use all that data and it feeds in and they say, well, if you had this, well, you've got pain in the left ear and your eyes twitching and all these other people had that too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of. I'm not sure exactly how it works, but
well, I think
basically
if
it will be
that's
that.
Not how it works.
Translation
I just invented it and I want
symptoms
the money for
into
it.
Numeric value, yeah. Then mathematical processing.
Yeah.
Bada bing, bada boom, you've got cancer. This wasn't as positive as
you've
I was hoping.
You've got
like,
the worst bedside manner of all time. Hello, Mr. Smith. Yes, well, bada bing, bada boom, you've got cancer. Sorry about that. Do you want me to tell you kids? Because, I mean, apparently I'm quite blasé about the whole thing.
It's either me or John Travolta.
Apparently.
We've also got things like, you know, virtual reality.
Yes.
Right, this
yeah,
is now...
Yeah, so like Oculus Rift and all that crazy shit.
Yeah.
Like, that suddenly becomes super, super, super... It was like, oh, the Lawnmower Man, and then suddenly in 5 minutes we've got 15 different headsets we can all wear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess they finally got to the point where the computers could do the math.
So Lawnmower Man is awesome.
Lawnmower Man is kind of terrible.
It is awful.
Did have a great computer game.
Weirdly, based on a Stephen King novel.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Not that weird, to be honest. Many good films
because
are.
He doesn't have anything.
Many
like
bad
the
films
novel.
Are. He wrote a lot of shit.
So yeah, so VR, yeah, sure.
Key thing is not so much VR, it's when we look at what's actually coming out in terms of AR. Augmented reality.
I was going to say actual reality.
And this
you
is
mean just reality.
Actual reality, but better.
So augmented reality.
No,
like when
is...
you get the Star Trek Blu-ray and you hold your phone up to it and it makes like a 3D model of the Enterprise float on your screen.
Just to be clear, ladies and gents, I'm the host of the tech segment and I am now the least nerdy person sitting
You've
around
never heard
this
of
table.
Augmented reality, what are you talking about?
Yes, that.
Right.
But also the fact that you can hold your phone up, you've got Pokemon Go, you've got all of the stuff that's currently going on with HoloLens, you've got generally a whole bunch of hardware that hasn't quite caught up yet, but is getting
there.
It allows us to stick layers over reality.
Yeah.
Data-driven, computerized layers.
Imagine if it was contact lenses.
Can
you just Pokemons
are
everywhere.
Think? But yeah.
I'm into everything, and that is something that I have never gotten into.
Really?
I am Captain Bangwagon, and I've never gotten into Pokemon Go.
You aren't missing masses, although...
Oh, I can't imagine.
Level 25...
Listen, everybody loves a Squirtle. But, yeah. Anyway.
Then we get into things like industrial design, and you've got problems like, for example, how do we build the next airplane?
Right.
Not just like your normal tiny little
wings.
Airplane. Oh, yes, that's it. That's what they were missing. They need two wings.
Well, there you go. Solved it. That'll be $500,000,000,000, Airbus. Thanks very much. You're welcome.
What they have is this concept called generative design.
Right.
So they're feeding all of this data into computers, and the computers are basically, again, similar to the way that they solve chess. They are hammering through all of the possible variants. You
right.
tell them
so
the
presumably,
basic...
though, it's like a bajillion, gajillion calculations that go wrong.
Yeah.
Until eventually they get the right one, and they go, oh, now we can build a plane that's got 15 floors and 25 mm-hmm. wings. And
yeah.
Because that's the whole thing, right? Like, just physics-wise, as things get bigger, their structural integrity goes down, right?
Yes.
So as you build bigger planes, they have to work out the math to make them big. You can't just make a plane and make it just bigger, because it has to be able to hold together.
It's all math. So the better we have processing power to actually come up with these various different variations, the more we can churn through and the faster we can do it.
Right.
But don't get me wrong, computers have always been able to do this. They just did it slowly.
Right.
Exponentially.
But that's it. We don't want it to take a week. We want to know now. Thank you very much.
Well,
like, you don't
it
want to type into
week,
Google.
But we don't want it to take a year.
What does this mean in French? And then a week later, it's like, for fuck's sake, don't drink this. You can die. Like, you know, you want it to know straight away. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, by the way, written now on your tombstone.
For fuck's sake, don't drink it. No, I'm having... I told you I was sick. Like Spike Milligan. Like Spike Milligan. Or just... Billy Connolly said, just really, really small. So you have to stand really close and it just says, you're stepping on my balls. It's the two best. There's neither of those are mine. There's Spike Milligan and Billy Connolly. Genius.
We have this massively computerized society.
I was terrified you were actually asking me for a second.
Well, I kind of am. We have this massively computerized society, and what is the one thing that computers need?
Electricity.
Boom.
Seriously?
Yeah, need power.
Yeah, nailed it.
Current computing requires electricity to work.
Yeah.
This is the whole premise of the Matrix.
Seems like there's not going to be a time when it doesn't need a...
Well, it needs something, but, you know, quantum could get weird. But this is the whole premise of the Matrix.
Yeah, sure.
Why are they in the Matrix?
Because they're human batteries, yeah, of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
To power all of the mega supercomputers.
Well, we already have watches that are powered off the kinetic movement of your body.
Great, and it can count to 12.
Can you imagine if we had phones that could do that? Or cars?
Yeah, no.
If I could just go in my car in the morning, furiously masturbate, and then drive 100 miles. Jesus!
We've got
I could drive to Spain!
What do you drive?
From
I'm
the
driving.
Moon.
I'm driving a Nissan Kleenex.
It's like, amazing!
Also,
imagine the car adverts.
My body temperature gets absorbed back
it's
into
so
the
It's so eco-friendly.
Chassis.
Just get in every morning and jerk it.
So power demand's going to continue to increase.
Yes.
Because they get more efficient.
And the population gets bigger, so the power demand gets bigger. Yeah, sure.
But if we get more powerful computers, computers require more juice. Therefore, we need more energy.
Now, this is an important
question. Go on.
Does it take more power just to run your computer all the time or turn it on and off?
It
because
takes,
there's an old thing about leave it on standby, and TVs too. Leave it on standby, and it will use less power than... Because booting the computer up takes more power than just leaving it on all the time. That's an old adage.
I can guarantee you that if you turn your computer off when you are not using it, assuming this is your work or home computer, the energy you save during the large quantity of time you are not using it will significantly outweigh the spike in energy that it requires when it turns on.
There you go. Had it here.
There you go.
Had it here first,
myth
folks.
Myth busted.
Had it here first, folks. Fuck
oh,
you, Adam
shit.
Savage.
Get sued.
Not really, Adam Savage. I love you. I honestly couldn't love anyone more. But, yeah.
So amazing. Turn your computers off, folks.
There you go.
Save the planet.
So anyway, that is a massive aside. So where were we? Massive amounts of population means massive amounts of energy consumption, which means computers need to take up less energy to run.
So we need to look at efficiency, but also if we're going to have computers...
We need better batteries.
Better batteries, better power sources.
Right.
And this is going to be fun. So I don't know if you've noticed, but the current power source in your smartphone hasn't changed at all.
Well, I don't know. I can't open the back to see it.
No, all they've done is hide it.
I used to be able to, but now I can't.
No,
I actually feel like probably most of this is empty space inside. It's like a board about a third.
It's mostly battery.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We'll put
apparently
some,
the Apple batteries
we'll put
aren't
some
that great
links
either.
in the show notes, but literally the amount of an iPhone that is currently battery is
so
scary.
Just as another aside about this, about the Apple things, there's a whole thing about like don't ever let it run all the way down and don't ever charge it all the way up because they've got 1,000 charges.
Yeah, that's also bullshit.
Sounds some bullshit to me.
It used to be true.
It was bullshit.
In the days of pre-lithium ion, we had I can't even remember what they're called. We had Nickel cadmium.
Yes, I know you've said it. I've read it on the
cadmium.
Back of a. I've read it on the back of a Nokia thing.
Yeah. Now they did have what was called a memory effect. So if you didn't run them all the way down and didn't charge them all the way up,
they would
lose
decrease
the capacity. And quite harsh. I mean, it's like literally, if you didn't run it all the way down and then charge it up, it'd be like, no.
So if you're charging at 40%, you're only actually ever going to get
60%. That's all you're going to get, ever. And no way to fix me.
And then exponentially, it always decreases.
No. It's chemistry. This is the thing, batteries are crude. Crude chemistry.
Crude, they're like, fuck you all the time. It's horrible.
What have we got coming up? We've got things like fuel cells. These are kind of like...
Hydrogen fuel cells.
Yeah.
Yep.
But the hydrogen fuel cells
like
are
the Terminator.
Being developed.
Like in Terminator 3, when he has the corrupted one, he throws it out the thing and there's like the hydrogen bomb goes on behind him. Yep.
Aside from the power requirements of our newly and heavily computerized society, what other impacts can we expect to see socially, if you will?
Well, the big thing is, I guess, the big thing is... like being joined up, like we're communicating, we're closer as a planet, I guess. It's easier to, we have fans in Denmark or America or, no, I'm making definitely
shout
making
out
up.
The Denmark massive.
We've got like 10.
Mishmlergenflergen.
Wow, way to alienate the Denmark massive, dude. But you know what I mean? Like, it makes the world smaller, doesn't it? So,
yeah. Well, no, the world is.
It also makes it easier to go, but, it makes it easier to go and. Just, you know, metaphorically, it makes the world easier to explore and it makes it easier to be exposed to each other's cultures and stuff, I guess. So
social change is a given.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to have massive shifts in understanding, hopefully.
Yeah. And trade. It makes it that much easier to trade across half the world and stuff like that.
You can buy anything from anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Legal or illegal.
Most of the shit I buy from Amazon comes from China, you know, so, you know. Yeah.
By the way, that's shit in the general sense, not in...
Yeah, just like shit in a colloquial, not it's actually shit. I mean, some of it is shit. I mean, those kids should work harder. Fucking kids. Coming in, stitching in footballs, like, oh, I'm going to be lazy today. Now I'm going to hit a golf ball and it's going to go off to the left. Bastards.
Yeah, because that's definitely the fault of the guy who made the golf ball.
No, it's that kid not dimpling that ball right. That's why my golf's bad.
In addition to the social change, there are some other bits and pieces we can look forward to, because these are all things that are going to increase as we continue into the future. We're going to get more connected. We're going to get more information shared back and forth and faster and richer information. It used to be text, and now we're dealing with video, with photo, with audio, all of these things. We can see video from a riot in New Zealand, for example.
Well, I mean, that was an enormous thing, like in the Arab Spring and all that kind of stuff in Egypt.
Exactly.
Like, the reason the world knew what was going on is because people were, like, Facebook Living and, like, putting it on Twitter and shit like that. Like social media has become this ridiculous tool against these oppressive governments. So do you think we're going to start seeing the introduction of new methods of that, or do you just think we're going to have better access and better efficiency of those things?
I think...
Shit, that was like a fucking actual intelligent
Holy
question.
Cow.
Woo!
You're on fire.
Woo!
No, you're literally on fire. You dropped your cigar.
I looked down and everything.
Mentioned it. Both, right? Mm. So we're going to get better quality... better video, and this is a big thing. Again, every new smartphone that comes out, it's like, oh, we have the better camera. The camera is 10 times better than the last camera.
Yeah. Well, it's getting to the point where it's like a camera that's got a phone on it as opposed to a phone that's got a camera.
The point is...
When was the last time I used your camera, your phone, as a phone?
The point is, you look at what these cameras are used for generally, and it's, fair enough, taking photos of your own genitalia and occasionally dinner.
Classic dick pics.
And sometimes those two are the same thing.
Yeah. I wonder how many dick pics are on the cloud.
Ooh, the cloud is full of dick pics. I mean, there's a whole different thing. When we get to P, we might get lucky.
I'm so annoyed that when we did D, we didn't just do dick pics. But anyway.
Databases was a minute.
I think it's amazing that like our access to things like that, and especially things like the way that the technology has changed things like the news.
Yeah.
Like Twitter is a news source. Facebook is a news source. It just is.
Entirely.
And it's not based on, like, there's not journalists. There's just motherfuckers there who are just right fucking there filming stuff.
This is on the ground, pure reportage.
Like, it really is. Like,
it's uncurated, it's unfiltered, which brings its own problems, because anybody can put anything up and say, this is news.
I mean, they're also an echo chamber, clearly.
Totally.
But it
we
really
can
is.
See improvements in that.
Like when stuff happens, like in London, like recently in London or in Manchester and things like that, I don't go to BBC, I go on Twitter. You do hashtag Liverpool, or hashtag Manchester, I should say. Hashtag Manchester. And it's just, that's how you get all your news, because people are going, ah! Like Grenfell recently, exactly that. Admittedly, it was all dickheads taking fucking selfies with a burning tower in the background, but, you know, it was real time. Yeah.
Darker side, I suppose, of the information revolution is that sometimes this stuff can't be trusted or
that's the big thing about the future, certainly, is how much can we actually be trusted with any of this shit. By and large, we can be, but unfortunately, dickheads are an actual thing that exist.
The other big thing to move away from dickheads and news, because frankly, there are way too many of them.
I'm getting into my paranoid business about
I suppose what you'd refer to as the feedback loop. That we say we have smart cars, you have a device on your person that is a bundle of sensors. But at the same time, that information is shared at the moment, currently, with a select few.
Like the company that owns or created the phone, say.
Or the company that owns or created the app you're running.
Or, you know, the NSA.
Well, they're a given.
You know, I would assume MI6. They have an information sharing agreement, so yeah.
What gets kind of fun is when you start to take into account things like, what would happen if your phone were to report your driving habits to somebody who was responsible for maintaining the roads or managing traffic.
So they know which roads were busier and what times and...
Yeah.
Well, then they could also, for example, manage traffic lights better. Yeah, everyone's got that traffic lights when you sit there forever and you're like, no car goes past. This is a very niche example, but there's that Montmillet, there's that traffic lights. You sit at those, when you're coming down Montmillet, you sit at the red light forever, nothing drives past you, and then 5 minutes later you get to go. That would be better managed if they knew about the flow of traffic of actual people.
Yeah.
But that would be allowing such Jersey or your government to track you.
And?
I'm not super comfortable with that, Rob.
Okay, well, fine.
It's not that I'm up to anything naughty, but also...
It's anonymised, it's not you. And what if you're...
It feels a bit like fascism to me.
Yeah, the person that... Really? The person who designed the house that you live in knows which rooms you spend most time in, which...
But you have smart houses now, and you have smart bowls and stuff. Like, you can smart house off your phone with all the Panasonic bulbs and stuff.
I suppose my point is
these lights come on at this time of night, this time comes on. But as long as you've got control, that's okay.
Open it up, and all of a sudden you've got demographic data across the entirety of the population.
Well, I think as long as you've got control, I can say at 6 o'clock I want these lights to come on because it gets dark at this time of night and whatever. I'm going to come and down. I'm going to wake up at 7:30. So at 7:20, I want the 7:20. I want the bathroom lights to come on and I can go in and blah blah blah. But I don't really want everyone to know about that.
But if they don't know it's you, what's the difference?
I don't know. It just feels nosy. I just don't. It's like a private thing. I don't know. It's like an instinctual thing. I don't necessarily want everyone.
I mean, this is
to...
the innate thing about where we're headed. Is...
But the problem is what's the harm in what they know? Why does it matter if they know what time you get up for bed? It doesn't. But as much as I hate this analogy, it's a slippery slope. Where does it end? Well, we let them know when we wake up. So why would we matter if we know blah, 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 or X, or is Y, or
we've
one
been,
every, you know.
Mike, it's... we've been down this road a couple of times, and this is the thing, is this is a podcast about the future, and I regret to tell you that all of your nightmares
are going
about
to come true. Yeah, I know.
They will know exactly when you have done
this podcast
every single thing.
This podcast has made me fucking paranoid.
They will share everything with everybody. Yeah, yeah, and yeah. The idea behind that is that actually you get those who do it for the greater good.
It's true.
You
and
also
I get
those
I really
who do it
do
for
get,
the commercial good.
I really do get that.
But the concept of the feedback loop is going to become implicit in our lives.
Yeah.
Which is something that our parents' generation never had to worry
this
about.
This podcast stopped being funny about 10 minutes ago. So I'm so sorry, everybody. It's got real, real quick. But no, it is a thing where I don't mind people knowing my, like, my ins and outs until suddenly... as it were, hello, what do they say about not being a fan anymore? Nailed it. I don't mind people knowing where I am and what I'm doing because I'm not doing anything wrong. But A, it's none of your fucking business. And B, how long before, oh, he's going to play golf. Right, so I'm just going to hammer his phone and his heads-up display or whatever the fuck we're wearing at the time with adverts for golf and shit like that. It's, you know, it's capitalism, man.
So, I think... at this point, it's time for the amazing fact.
As long as it's positive, because I'm feeling pretty down
it's
about this, man.
It's pretty positive.
I'm feeling pretty down.
But this is the problem, is that a lot of this stuff, whilst you're feeling down about it, and I'm okay, we'll pause amazing facts briefly. Negativity comes through applied use of technology. That's down to you and us.
I agree.
It has
we have
nothing
to, have a social
to do
contract.
With the actual
we
robots.
Have to have a social contract. I agree.
So,
but I don't think it's the people that use it that are the problem.
The social contract.
But it's not the people that use it that are the problem. Or, it's the, oh, we just need a backdoor into WhatsApp because, you know, there might be terrorists and stuff like that. It's like, that's what's scary.
Then lose your phone.
No, but I need my phone. It's got
we'll
all
give up
the
on
Apple
the podcast.
Music on it and stuff. I've got my picture of Mark Hamill on my thing. I need all my stuff. Also, honest to God, if my iPhone broke, I would just have an anxiety attack.
You might
want
to check your smoke alarm, because I'm pretty sure there's...
smoke alarm. Anyway, yes, so. Amazing facts, let's do that. That'll be
the amazing fact. When did man land on the moon?
Yes.
Really?
1969. That was one. Nine, that was one. You have passed the test.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much.
It's wonderful.
Very well done.
The
you know
computer,
he fucked up the line, by the
what?
Way. One small step for man, a giant leap for... he was meant to say one small step for a man, a giant leap for mankind, which makes sense. It's one small step for a man, a giant leap for mankind.
Yeah.
It's one small step for man, a giant leap for mankind. It means the same thing. It's one small step for mankind, a giant leap for mankind.
He was the first person to set foot
on... well, I'm
on
not saying that, you know...
a terrestrial body that was extraterrestrial.
So
I'm going to cut him some slack,
he had
to
the
be
bottle
fair.
To fly to the moon and then jump out of a fucking tiny little tent onto the moon, but he didn't have the bottle to get his lines right. Sort yourself out, Armstrong. Aldrin didn't fuck up. That's what I'll say.
Really, what did Aldrin say when he first walked on the moon?
He went, fucking hell, this is awesome! It just wasn't recorded. I'm Buzz Aldrin. Have you ever seen, and this is a ridiculous aside, and this is amazing. There was a conspiracy theorist of the Never Landed on the Moon, what's it? And he confronted Buzz Aldrin. At the time, Buzz Aldrin was like 75 and was like, fuck you, man, you never landed on the moon. You're a coward. So Buzz Aldrin knocked him the fuck out. Punched him in the face, broke his jaw, and knocked him the fuck out. Because Buzz Aldrin is a bad motherfucker. Anyway, we'll cut this out. Amazing facts.
We're not going to mess with Buzz.
No, Buzz is a bad motherfucker.
NASA landed men on the moon in 1969.
They landed on the moon.
And they did so with the assistance of something called the Apollo Guidance Computer, which was developed at MIT.
Right.
And ran at, give or take, 0.043 megahertz.
Sorry. No, I don't know very much. Clearly. RAM of what?
0.043 megahertz. Somebody else, better than me, less drunk than me, can do the math to work out what the hell that is in hertz.
There are razors now. They were like, oh, we learned the bumps of your face, and now we don't cut you no more. Like, that's got better RAM than that, hasn't it?
Yes.
Well, like a Game Boy.
It had got 64 kilobytes of RAM.
Yeah.
It was crazy. At the same time, this was what was actually on the spacecraft. This is what the astronauts used, the computer they used.
So they just had to do it by hand then, didn't they?
Yeah, more or less.
Looking out the camera at the bottom of the shuttle.
We've got this computer. I'm just going to use my chalkboard.
One dude looking out the window going, we're nearly there. No, easy, easy. It's like parking a car in a car park. No, back a bit more. Back a bit more.
But at the same time, computerized maths on the moon.
Yeah, sure.
Kind of hard.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I'm not, no, believe me, I'm not knocking the...
Down on the ground, we have NASA itself in Canaveral.
Yeah.
And they were running IBM System 360s.
Right.
These are mainframe computers that are basically the size of your car.
Yeah, sure.
Now, those, firstly, cost $3.5 million each.
No, really?
Yeah, $3.5 million. $3.5 million big boys.
That's amazing.
And... They could basically do a few hundred thousand operations a second. They had megabytes of memory.
So, do you have a comparison to today?
I do.
Good. Because I figured you would, and that was good.
The computer that landed man on the moon, 0.043 megahertz.
Yeah.
The iPhone 6, which isn't even the current iPhone.
This isn't even the new one.
This was the best stat I could find that I could validate. Runs at 1.4 gigahertz.
Hang on.
So,
what?
Megahertz.
Wait, no,
times
wait.
It by
wait, what?
1024.
Sorry, 0.43 kilobytes.
Megahertz.
So it's mega, and then it's
1.4 giga.
So my phone is smarter than the thing that landed Buzz Aldrin. Not Neil Armstrong, because he fucked up his lines. I'm not going to.
He was still there, man. Considering.
Your
phone also has gigabytes.
No, wait,
of
that's
RAM.
Stupid. Well, I feel like it's a bit wasted on this phone because all I use it for is being like, oh, we've got a podcast. Or like, oh, look, my emails. I've got another spam email. And I could be using this to land on the moon? Are you saying that I could turn my phone into a spaceship?
You put it in a spaceship.
Oh, right, okay.
And play some kick ass tune.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the spaceship will, of course, have an Apple dock.
When they're up in the ISS now, and they're like, oh, I want some music, and they're like, oh, don't worry, I've downloaded some Led Zeppelin onto Apple Music before I left, we can play it. The phone they're using in the ISS is of a higher... I mean, obviously it's of a higher spec, but that much of a higher spec?
Much. I mean, your basic iPhone 6 could do 3.36 billion instructions per second, which means basically that many calculations. It is 32,000 times faster than the best
69.
Computers.
So that's less than 50 years ago.
Yeah. Huh?
And before that, we didn't actually really have computers.
All of a sudden.
I mean, when was the first home computer?
Oh, my
what was
God.
What was the first home computer? Can we go back and start the podcast from the beginning again?
Computer?
Can we start from the beginning again of this podcast? Because I'm starting to understand the scope of this now. You kept saying exponential, and I was like, yeah, I totally get it. But now I'm really like, say
there
what?
There we go.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Is like people. So many people say about space travel, it's a waste of money. But actually, every single thing that we have, from golf jackets to tents to cooking utensils, Teflon and phones and everything, is all entirely down to the fact that it was made by NASA so that we could actually go up into space. It's amazing. Well, it's ridiculous.
That and porn.
That and porn, obviously. I mean, the internet was only invented, supposedly, so we could share
papers. The point of this entire segment is the amazing fact that an iPhone 6, modelled down from your phone, could successfully land 120 million different spacecraft on the moon at the same time, based on the Apollo 11 mission parameters.
So 120 million?
Yep.
Would you make it a real bitch to park?
Fortunately, they have an iPhone 4 to handle parking.
120 million on the surface of the moon. What I'm saying is, that's a lot of people.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, this has been We're Drunk and We Know Things. We tried to explore the future. It turns out, we're drunk. And we couldn't. We'll see you next month, where we're talking about geo shit.
Apparently.
Enjoy.
I think it's about time that I walk away. So I turn around to walk away, but then I look back. Sadly, they make me turn and walk away again.
Even though it looks like it's the future, it's really a long, long time ago. When there were nights and they got into fights, using sabers of light. Some things look so familiar. They're not really on Earth yet. It's a galaxy far, far away. Alien DNA walking around every day. No one knows it. Well, I messed up.
Space. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the podcast We're Drunk and We Know Things. Its continuing mission: be drunk as shit, and talk bollocks, and try and sound like know what we're talking about. I fucked that up. Doesn't matter. Just imagine Leonard Nimoy. Give him a hug. Podcast.